Most importantly, though, we welcome guests here into our studio, and for the first time, but hopefully not the last, the Quincy Commissioner of Natural Resources, Dave Murphy, has stopped on by to chat with us about the many, many, many different park projects that are going on across the city. Dave, great to have you.
Joe, it's great to be with you again once again.
Yeah.
It's been a few years, but it's great to see you again.
Like old times, right?
Yeah, it is,
just
yeah.
Pick up where we left off.
Right.
I guess, first of all, congratulations on your return to Quincy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I think there's a lot of great things happening. Certainly, the work that Mayor Koch has put into the park system, certainly his vision for the new Department of Natural Resources and really focusing on some of the areas that haven't received attention through the years is what really kind of grabbed my attention. Home is always where the heart is, but certainly kind of the mayor's vision for what he wanted to do with this new department made it very attractive to come back where I started.
Yeah.
So it's great to
be
back.
Yeah. For folks who don't know, maybe you could explain what your department actually is.
Sure. So the mayor consolidated the park, the forestry, the cemetery, the recreation, and conservation efforts under one Department of Natural Resources. So park, forest, and cemetery were historically together. Recreation was separate, very well trained in the recreation department for many, many years. And conservation efforts were done kind of on an ad hoc basis, sometimes from the park department, sometimes through DPW, never as a primary responsibility of any of the departments. So places such as Butler's Pond, Sailor's Pond, many of our marshes, really were advocated for by citizens groups, people like PJ Foley, Sheldon Bennett, so many others that worked very hard to work on their neighborhood resources. But there wasn't really an umbrella or department that the city was directly responsible for. And now we have that in place. We have a new environmental scientist on board. We have a lot of exciting things happening as a result.
Sure. So let's jump right into it, if we can, some of the priorities for your department for 2020.
So we have a lot of capital projects going on right now. I think 3 years ago, between the park capital improvement plan, which Hancock Adams Common was a central part of, really a transformational park in the middle of our downtown.
Incredible, yeah.
That was kind of the foundation of the capital improvement plan of the park system. But there are many other projects that spun off from that. In addition to that, I can get into some of the specifics. There was the Kincaid project, which is over $5 million investment in the Southwest part neighborhood, in addition to the new Southwest Community Middle School and the park that they built associated with that. Really, we talk about transformational projects, and I do think Kincaid and that new school down in the Southwest community, I think, is going to be really a game changer for that neighborhood. And then the Community Preservation Committee, the mayor and the city council put more than $5 million to redo all 30 of our playgrounds and tot lots.
30 of them? Wow, I didn't realize there were so many. Okay.
Between tot lots and swings and slides, 30 different locations citywide.
Okay.
So there's quite a bit going on from the capital standpoint. That doesn't contemplate the operational standpoint and some of the regular improvements we've made to the fields that support our high school students, our youth athletes, et cetera. So, again, it's a very exciting time, the commitment of the mayor and the city council to put into our park system, looking like a very critical investment at this point now in the world we live in. And our parks are really one of the few things that are going to be open, I think, in the next few months. So really, I would encourage people to come out and take a look at some of the investments that we're talking about today.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit before we went on today about the current coronavirus environment that we're living in and the fact that, you know, playgrounds right now, at least in the city, are closed, but parks are open.
Yes, yeah, so the tot lots, I guess, so the playground structures that you're talking about that serve the kids anywhere from 2 to 12 years old, we've decided, based on the advice of the Commissioner of Health, Ruth Jones, along with discussing with many other communities throughout Massachusetts, that the unknown kind of life of the virus on different surfaces, it would be best, knowing that these are going to be attractive nuisances and gathering places as the weather gets a little bit better.
And kids are out of school right now.
Kids are out of school.
Yeah.
So we thought it best to close the tot lots for the time being, kind of get our legs underneath us on the coronavirus piece. Now, that said, that's just the tot lots. The parks themselves are open. So
okay,
we have, you know, 52 different park locations throughout the city that people can walk, hike, explore beyond the state park system from Squanum Point Park or the Blue Hills Reservation is going to be open for the time being.
Okay.
And I would strongly encourage people, as cabin fever begins to set in, to explore.
Yes.
Enjoy our park system. Get out and enjoy nature. It will be a beautiful time of year. And take full advantage of our fantastic park system.
Yeah, I've already seen some signs of spring, some buds on the forsythia, certainly crocuses, irises, things of that nature are coming up. Is there a good resource, Dave, where folks can find out more about where those parks are?
Sure. Our website has a full inventory of all of our parks. Okay. We produced a booklet a number of years ago that we turned into a PDF that's on our website.
Good.
So quincyma.gov. If you go to the Natural Resources or Park and Forestry page, you can find it there.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Let's not forget certainly the Quincy Shore Drive reservation too, Wollaston Beach, right?
Right. Very active over the course of the weekend. People out walking, biking, just enjoying the sun and getting some fresh air. I think that's going to be very important.
I agree.
As we get into a era of social distancing, that people do get out and enjoy nature, get some fresh air. Don't do it in large groups.
Of course,
But get out and enjoy what Quincy has to offer. Because I really think it's a difference maker in Quincy compared to some other urban areas.
I agree. And it was, I had asked you to come in here and talk about this before this epidemic hit.
Right.
I'm glad we're able to do this because I do think it's going to be critical for folks as a resource going forward, certainly. So let's talk about some of the improvement projects that are going on at these different parks, if we can.
Very excited about those.
Okay.
Let me start with the... one of the signature projects we're doing right now in Southwest Quincy is the old Kincaid Park.
Yep.
It's about 5.3 acres, located right off of Water Street, not far from the Lincoln Hancock School and the Southwest Middle School.
Right. Kind of in between them, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was used pretty much as a softball field for men's and women's softball
night. Okay.
Occasionally as a baseball field, and a neighborhood park where kids would go and congregate, throw the football around, kick a soccer ball, etc. The mayor decided, with support of the council, to invest over $5 million to build a brand new state-of-the-art soccer field, a sprint track, new basketball courts, a new playground, a walking trail around the perimeter of the park for people of all ages, interests, and abilities, some exercise equipment. There are a number of senior housing complexes around there that would really benefit from the walking trail, along with the light Lexus exercise equipment as well, too. So. We're also planting over 100 trees and over 1,000 plants. So essentially, Joe, this project is very cool because it's a rain garden disguised as an athletic facility.
Oh, okay.
You'll have a beautiful state-of-the-art synthetic turf soccer field that'll help with the drainage in the area. You know, that area around Water Street, typically there's been some localized flooding.
Mm.
Our landscape designer on this project, Scott Bishop, really built a magnificent, progressive rain garden that we're building athletic facilities on and dealing with drainage and the soils and the trees and the plants and things like that too. So
now, is there a splash pad going in there as well?
There is a splash pad. Yeah.
Okay.
So I do think that that'll be somewhat unique to that project.
Yeah.
There was a new one that was built at a housing authority property in Germantown, which is very popular.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think this will be equally popular too, especially as hopefully when the summertime comes,
right,
people will be out and about and congregating again. So I think it'll be very popular this summer.
What's the timeline on that, Dave?
The timeline is June.
Okay.
Be completed by June.
Okay.
So, hopefully. By then, we'll be not dealing with corona on a daily basis.
Right.
And people will be out and about and enjoying the new facility.
Oh, okay. So already things to look forward to. That's great. Yeah. What else?
We have a brand new skate park. Those people in the skateboarding community are familiar of the Pond Street skate park known as Monroe Playground.
Yep.
The mayor has identified a federal funding source to come in and completely renovate and redo that. And that was a project that was actually brought to the mayor's attention by a resident group that was in the skateboard community. And, we're not talking about 12 and 13-year-old kids, although 12 and 13-year-old kids skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
Skateboarding is an activity or a sport that's actually done now across the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
From young kids to adults.
Oh, yeah. I think you'll see it as an Olympic event someday.
Right.
Yeah.
And there were a number of adults that came forward and said, we travel to other communities throughout New England, not just Massachusetts. And, we go to brand new skateboard parks and would really like Quincy to take a look at the old park, which was built almost 20 years ago now.
Mm.
And can we redo the park? So the mayor brought in one of the best designers, the Pilar Design, which is a nationally known skateboard park designer. We went out to bid, and one of the best companies in the country, Artisan Skate Parks, won the bid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be starting in the next couple of weeks doing the construction of the new park.
Okay.
And again, the time frame for that is probably sometime mid to late July.
Okay.
But that'll be complete this summer as well, too, and we'll have a brand new state-of-the-art skate park in Quincy as well, too, which is very exciting.
That's a great example of, the impact that a small community group can have if they have an idea.
Right.
The only thing they can say is no.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So excellent. And it's, you know, it's a part of the city too where there's not a lot of recreational opportunities in the Quincy Point, really.
Right.
So to bring that to the neighborhood, I think right. it'll be helpful. Even if you're not an avid skateboarder, just a spectator can be fun too.
Right.
Yeah.
So a couple of the other projects we have going on.
Yeah.
The you may have seen the where the track is down in Faxon Field. There's a brand new field house down there, which is going to support the track program, both the Quincy Youth Track Club with Jeff Hennessy,
mm-hmm.
as well as the high school track programs.
Oh.
And Quincy High football practice there in the fall
yes.
as well, too. There'll
yeah.
be a couple of restrooms there. So
okay.
Dan Quirk has made a pretty substantial charitable donation to help support that. The
Great.
City has invested some funds in there, too. So. They'll see a beautiful new brick field house right on Faxon Field.
Oh, okay.
And that'll be a nice addition to the park inventory for that spot as well.
Boy, that talk about a transformative space. That is just incredible, that corner there. Yeah,
yeah. We talked about people getting out and about for fresh air on
yep.
my way here. I drove by there. There's, there's 8 to 9 people out running, jogging, just getting some fresh air and exercising
yeah.
in the outdoors, which is important. We'll see a lot of the gyms close.
Yes.
People still need to exercise, so places like the track are going to become very important, I think.
Fortunately, we're not dealing with having to move snow out of the way at all,
right.
And
right.
the temperatures are pretty tolerable. So, yeah, we have to look at the bright side of things
right.
for sure. Yeah. Okay, we've got a bunch, so let's get to it, yeah.
So Veterans Stadium is
yes.
another location that has really seen a transformation.
Oh, my gosh.
With the help of the Boston Cannons.
Yeah.
Mayor Koch and Rob Hale have partnered to invest close to $2 million in renovating the stadium.
It's incredible, yeah.
If you've seen the new stands that we have there, the new Jumbotron scoreboard, the locker rooms are fantastic.
Yes.
And I think what the mayor really likes about this project is that it's really the Quincy youth. It's nice to have a professional sports
sure.
in Quincy. That's great.
Yep.
But really the beneficiaries of this are the young kids. If you saw the looks on their faces when they walked into the high school soccer or football game and the Jumbotron had them
yes.
up on this giant scoreboard.
Yeah.
And even the visiting teams that would come in.
Yep, sure.
They couldn't believe that Quincy would have a facility that a school board, and I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this school board at Veterans is the same size as the one at Foxborough Stadium.
Yes.
Because the Cannons invested $1.5 million in private money into a public facility to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look at the facilities that our varsity athletes play at, our student athletes play at, whether it's Adams Field, Mitchell McCoy, or Veterans Stadium, they're the best high school fields around. My kids are in that age group now, so we travel a lot to
oh, sure.
facilities.
Yep.
A lot of people have a lot of turf fields.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the overall quality of the top end of the varsity fields, I think Quincy is second to none
yep.
From what I've seen. And we're very proud of that. And I do think that leveraging the private investment in that really is what I think the mayor should be congratulated for as much as anything. $1.5 million of that money came in from Rob Hale and the Cannons,
mm-hmm.
Which has been a nice addition to the city as well.
Absolutely, so, yeah, yeah. So. And I know they've invested in the high school sports programs, the educational opportunities, too, for the kids.
It's been a great partnership
yeah.
that we look forward to continuing for many years to come.
Sure, that's great. I'd encourage folks, if you haven't seen it, it is startling
right.
From night and day if you haven't been there in a while, for sure. All right.
So we also have the playground project. We mentioned the tot lots are currently closed
yes.
Because of the corona concerns. But the Community Preservation Committee, the mayor and the council, have invested $5.3 million to renovate every single children's playground in every single park and neighborhood throughout Quincy.
Mm.
Many of those are at school properties.
Yep.
So I think what was happening is that there were PTO groups and well-intentioned neighborhood groups that were raising money for playground renovation. And the mayor didn't want to get into a situation of haves and have-nots.
Oh,
so they
okay.
decided to do a kind of a holistic approach to saying, let's put new playgrounds in across the entire city
well.
So we don't have certain neighborhoods with newer playgrounds and certain neighborhoods with older playgrounds.
Yeah.
So we're on the tail end of that program. I think 26 of the 30 sites have been done.
No.
The remaining four should be done this spring and summer.
Okay.
So we'll have a completely brand new playground inventory on top of all the other field renovations that we've done.
That's great. That really is. Another one at Faxon Park is used all the time.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is quality of life.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the issues, the park system
yep.
and the mayor's investment in the park system is really what separates Quincy from other urban areas like us with close to 100,000 people.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a city of neighborhoods, and you have those neighborhood parks that are central to that where you get to know your neighbors, you get to know your classmates, you hang out with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, everybody in the city has stories about the neighborhood park they grew up in.
Sure.
And, I think the investment that the mayor and the council are making now are going to perpetuate that into the next generation.
Yeah, to go back to your childhood and to think about, your summer playground activities. Where did they happen?
Right.
At the local park, yeah,
right.
The local playground, yeah.
So, and then, you know, hopefully this summer we have the recreation program. Michelle Hanley's the recreation director. Yep. She's doing an excellent job. They had a brand new Quincy Rec basketball league this winter, which was very successful.
Oh.
A couple of the local basketball leagues, whether it was the CYO League or the old Quincy Youth Basketball League, had folded for various reasons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think there was a space in there. Sacred Heart Basketball with Mark Channing does an excellent job. But I think there was another space in there for kind of basically house basketball, kind of training for younger kids on basketball
okay.
in a less competitive environment.
Yeah.
And the hundreds of kids played in that rec program this year.
Neat.
She did an excellent job with her staff. So looking to potentially expand that. You know, we talked about potentially doing a flag football league for the spring.
Really?
So it's not to compete with Quincy Youth football, but that's on hold, obviously,
yeah.
Because of the coronavirus situation.
Yeah.
But we hopefully have our summer playground program coming up with all of our camps. Boating and sailing program and quite a bit of activity going on this summer.
We hope. Exactly.
Yeah. We hope.
Yeah. at some point, let's say, you know.
Right. Who knows?
Whether it's the spring or summer or hopefully not the fall, but at some point, yeah. Other projects?
So, you know, high school spring season was supposed to start this week, and we're hopeful that there'll be a season maybe in April or in May or at some point mm-hmm. this year. And we were prepared. We made investments in Adamsfield, Bishop, Coletta, Mitchell McCloy, Welcome Young, building bullpens and batting cages and really enhancing the experience for our young people. So, you know, we're hopeful at some point
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
The schools will be back in session,
mm-hmm.
the spring seasons will be back up and running. And they'll be able to enjoy some of the improvements that we've made at all of our athletic facilities.
Yeah.
You know.
How's the dog park coming, Dave?
Dog park is coming very well. It's the city's first dog park.
Yeah.
It's right off of Quarry Street in West Quincy. It's up the top of the hill next to the new Avalon development.
Oh, okay.
So the park itself is about 90% complete. The road up to the dog park is being constructed, I believe, either this week or next.
Oh, really? Okay.
So the park was being built in conjunction with the brand new animal shelter, which is still in design stage, but we wanted to get the park up and running. The number of licensed dogs has doubled in the last 10 years.
Wow.
The dog owners have been far more responsible in recent times with picking up after the dogs. So we're very excited about that. The Stanton Foundation did give a grant of over $200,000 to help build that. The city spent quite an investment to make this happen because it's a project happening in conjunction with the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So the road project is going to actually support both the shelter and the park.
Right.
And then the park itself is going to be up the top of the hill.
Yes.
Off
yeah.
of Quarry Street. So
okay, yeah.
We do think it's going to be very popular. I do think it hopefully is the start of us addressing the needs of dog owners in the Quincy Park system because
yeah.
That use is exploding.
Oh, yeah, no yeah. question. And I know that the city's animal control department will be housed there as well
yes.
Once the structure is complete. Yeah,
right.
So it'll be multi-purpose.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone that's been in the shelter realizes
yep.
that they're desperate for a new location.
Yes.
And you know, I do think that the mayor and his team is going through a process of design to make sure that we get what we need. You know, you only build these facilities once every 50-plus years.
Sure.
So I think the design process with the mayor and Paul Hines and some of the other team members is going on right now with
okay.
the folks from the shelter. But in the meantime, we'd like to get the dog park open. We'd
yep.
like to get the road built and let the shelter plug into that design.
Yeah, I know it's a big job because it's basically raw land, and it's obviously it's in the quarry, so it's all rock.
Right.
Yeah.
The sites are not quite developed
yeah.
as a reason for them
yeah.
throughout the city. And in this case, geographically, it is really in the heart of the city, so
yeah.
I think that was important to the mayor to have something that wasn't located in one of the peninsulas or you know, wasn't far away from the center of the city.
Sure.
So I do think from a geography standpoint it makes sense. The site conditions themselves create some challenges, but nothing that we can't handle.
Okay, good. Furnace Brook Golf Course.
Very exciting.
Maybe?
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So the lease for Furnace Brook Golf Course is up in 2021.
Yep.
The mayor's had multiple meetings with the leadership team of the golf course to let them know that it's his intention to maintain it as a golf course. He's made some very public statements about
yes, he
that.
Has, yeah.
He had a community meeting up there as well.
Yep.
So we're going through a process, a transition process with the golf course now. I think the mayor wants to provide as little of interruption of service to the membership, to the community, to everybody up there. That said, he does want to do a master planning process that ties the course in with Forbes Hill Park, which is adjacent to it. It's got the beautiful old granite water tower up there. Really is an underutilized park property. He's sensitive to the needs of the neighbors and not drawing too much traffic up on some residential roads.
Sure.
So I do think there's going to be a master planning process, a community process that goes into repurposing or improving the Furnace Brook Golf Course. But I think he anticipates that being municipally run at the end of 2021.
Yeah.
So, I think there are opportunities there to expand programming. You talk about the high school teams. You talk about the recreation programs. You know, I do think that there's a great opportunity there to maintain what's happening there with their membership and folks that enjoy that course.
Already,
but also to expand it.
Yeah, I know that he has said that he wants it to be self-sustaining, so, you know, not a burden on the budget at all, sort of crafted in that manner, I suppose, and offer memberships to the public.
Right.
Yeah, and hopefully can still go sledding there in the winter.
Yes, it's one of the greatest spots in the city.
Absolutely.
Sledding, no doubt about it. Yeah.
Anything else, Dave?
Those are the main issues.
The big ones,
You know, the new department, we do have a new tree warden who was actually going through, and we've actually taken a different approach to managing our urban forest. There are close to 20,000 street trees in Quincy.
Yeah, when you said that, I'm like, really? But you think about it, sure.
Yes, it's, you know, it really kind of defines the character of a lot of the neighborhoods in the city. So, you know, Chris Haywood is our new tree warden. We stole him from Watertown.
Yes.
He's a very talented member of the Mass Tree Wardens Association, former board member, really talented, knowledgeable gentleman. And he is now going out and doing an assessment of every tree in our city. We're working with our GIS folks from engineering, and we're plotting every single tree on a map that we hope to be public facing by this summer.
That's great.
So you can look at every tree in the city, the species, the size, the condition, when it was inspected.
That's a Herculean undertaking, for
sure.
It is,
but I do think that that's really urban forestry management versus reacting to crises when people have dead trees or branches down. You know, I think the resources that we had in the past, we had to do kind of response as opposed to being proactive. I think the mayor has funded the tree warden position, which is going to allow us to approach it differently.
Yes. Well, a lot of that was because the wrong tree was planted in the wrong spot, too.
In a lot of cases.
In a lot of cases.
Especially with utility wires.
Yes.
You know, we dealt with that for years. The utility company would come in and create their clearance, and that would really hurt the condition of the tree.
Yeah.
And then the residents had to deal with falling branches and dead trees and all the other things that come with that.
Exactly,
so, That's been a huge improvement for us.
Great.
You know, our workers have done an excellent job in kind of keeping up with our expectations for what we want to accomplish as a department. If I can say that politely. they've done a really good job in kind of responding to the expectations that I put in place for what we want to accomplish as a department. So I've been very happy. We did have one tragic loss this past year. Our longtime general foreman, Steve Mancuso, passed away suddenly over the course of last summer, which was a little bit of a shock to our system. Steve was a part of that department since my first go around there back in the 90s. And really a true gentleman, excellent general foreman. So we had a little bit of a shakeup there. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank him and mention him and hold his memory out there, because Steve was a true gentleman, excellent public employee, and deserves that recognition to be mentioned as part of what we've been accomplishing.
Absolutely, so, absolutely. You know. If folks do have tree concerns, Dave, can they get in touch with your department?
Yeah, there are a couple of different ways.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, if they're comfortable using the phone, 617-376-1251. The Civic Assist program on the city's main website, we field a lot of tree requests, whether it's a new tree planting, whether it's a request for maintenance or service. And our tree warden will be right down to service that.
Great.
Those are the two best ways. We keep all over that. We've got a great staff that is recognizing that technology is the best way, one of the best ways to serve our public. So I would encourage them to do that. And if they're not comfortable doing that, they can certainly give us a call.
Okay, great. Anything else we should touch on? We'll have you back, of course, as these projects move forward.
Yeah, those are the main projects.
Is that all? Is that all you're doing?
We have, you know, from tennis courts at Bishop to Broad Meadows, there's quite a bit going on. Court projects, court renovations. We're actually going through and doing park improvement plans, much like they do with schools. They have school improvement plans where they analyze exactly what they're doing, how they're doing it, and make plans to improve it. We're doing that now with every one of our park facilities. It's great that we're building new parks. It's great that we maintain the old parks, but it's important that we do that in-between work so that our parks that we built 10, 12, 15 years ago stay like new.
We haven't talked about the biggest park in the city, Marymount Park, at all, and I know that there's a long-term plan for that, too.
Yeah, there's a master plan currently in place that the mayor's taking a look at. You know, there's a lot of work that has to be done. For example, the bridge that goes down Marymount Parkway, Route 3A, crosses over. It's really two culverts. We call it a bridge that goes across Black's Creek. There's design work right now that in the next year or two, that bridge is going to have to be replaced. I think it's an opportunity not just to replace it from a functional standpoint, but make Marymount Parkway look more like a parkway, like you're in the signature park in the city. You know, we talked about Veterans Stadium being improved, Adams Field being improved. You know, I think there's a lot going on in Marymount Parkway. Adams Walk, Which is the Fomo Garden up in Marymount. We're doing some improvements up there to the fountain as we speak.
Okay.
So there's quite a bit going on both Marymount and Faxon Park.
Yeah.
Master planning processes right now.
And does your department also oversee the Hancock Adams Common too, or is that a separate entity?
That is a collective effort.
Oh, okay.
You know, certainly I think there's a not a separate department, but there are folks assigned directly to
that's their number one job.
The pocket parks in the downtown, because you know, soon they'll be opening up a public civic space near the new garage across the old courthouse.
Yeah.
You know, there are plans for a public park, small pocket parks, where the General's Bridge is going in. So
There'll
be quite a beautiful inventory of public and civic spaces in the downtown that the mayor wants to make sure that they stay that way,
not just
the first day they're built, but they're able to be maintained.
And yeah, I know he's talked
put together
about
a talented group to do that.
Yeah, he's talked about a park perhaps at the new public safety complex in the future as well. So, very good.
So the last project?
Yes.
Cemeteries is another area that we oversee.
Oh.
And Pine Hill expansion has been talked about for 20-plus
years.
Yes,
it has.
And we are getting there. I expect that the beginning of the expansion will actually take place this summer.
Wow.
So the permits with the state are finally coming into place, the conservation restrictions that they require.
The snakes are gone? Or
Well, we've had to carve out a certain section of what the cemetery property is to make sure that it's a conservation restriction on that property so the snakes can have their place to migrate during the summertime. There is an area that we are going to be able to develop for additional cemetery space. I don't know after that what the municipal cemetery business in Quincy is going to look like.
Right.
We're running out of space.
Yes. Yeah.
The mayor has been trying to expand the cemetery now since he was the executive director of Park
Forest
Cemetery. So I know he's eager to get that project launched. But the state permitting is finally coming into place, and I expect us to start those efforts this summer, too.
Wow.
So.
How many will that add, do you know?
Possibly another 2,000.
Wow,
Okay. So it'll be significant, and it'll likely be done in phases. But again, it's it may be the last spot that the city has for the municipal cemetery.
True.
So in that sense, it's really important. And it's been going on for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the environmental permits that we've had to get, because it's the migratory habitat of the timber rattlesnake, is important to a lot of people. So we're getting through the permitting process and making sure that we do it the right way. And that should launch this summer. So
great.
Finally.
Yeah. So. All right. Appreciate your time. Great to talk to you, Dave. Please
Likewise,
come back,
John.
Would you?
I would love to. Thank
All right.
you for having me.
You're very welcome.
It.
Our pleasure.